people that are driven by faith, do not let people discourage them from getting into the presence of Jesus, because they want Jesus desperately. They're driven by faith.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark and I would love to extend an invitation to you. If you do not have a church home, maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today, come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. We're in 23 neighborhoods around Chicagoland. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you'd want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us, or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thank you, Josh. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Tonight, we continue Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close. And tonight is the second half of his message called Faith Building People. It's the last message of this powerful series, so let's get right into it. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 7 through 26 tonight. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Faith Building People.
You believe that God can open a door, that God can break through when everybody else has given up. It makes you believe that your neighborhood can still turn around. It makes you believe that a family member can still come to know Jesus. It makes you believe that that person that's been in addiction for years and years, that there is hope for them, that maybe they haven't found the right place, but the last story hasn't been told in their life. It makes you believe that that marriage that you're praying for, that maybe God can bring a miracle there. It makes you believe that a city like Chicago can turn around if enough people full of faith start doing something about this great city. They came together as a team, combining their faith. And let me tell you something about faith. The Bible tells us in James that true faith will always lead to action. There is no faith, there is no authentic faith that does nothing. Faith always leads to action. Faith and works are always combined. If you say you believe, but there is no change in your life, I doubt whether you truly believe. If you say that you believe in Jesus and he's going to be Lord of your life, then I know that there's going to be change in your life. Oh, you may not be perfect. None of us are, but you will change. You cannot believe without change. Faith and works always go together. James says, show me your faith by your works, and I will show you that true faith always is accompanied by works. Don't tell me you believe if you're not willing to do anything about it. Don't tell me that you really have faith if you're not willing to take a step forward and take a risk. Because true faith will always cause you to take a risk. These men didn't set back and say, well, we believe that God can change them. They said, we believe that God can change them. Now grab an end of the mat and let's carry him. Some of you are believing for a neighbor. You say, well, I believe God can change my neighbor. Well, how about inviting him next Easter? Bringing him out. You believe that God can do it? Do something about it. I believe that true faith always takes a step of action. These men, because of their faith, began to work together. You get a few people, it only has to be three or four, that really have faith, and when they combine their faith together, they can move big things. But we have to be moving in the same direction. How about it? I heard of a couple men one time that guy was trying to, he was moving out of his house, and his neighbor walked by and saw that he was trying to get a refrigerator through a door. So he said, let me help you. And so he started struggling. It was a big refrigerator, very heavy, and they're pushing and pulling and tugging. And after a half hour, he was sweating and drenched, and he said, "We'll never, I mean, I don't know what this refrigerator is, never going to get out of this house." The guy on the other side said, "Out? I'm trying to get it in." So, you know, one guy's pulling out, another guy's pushing in. You know, the problem with many of us is that we haven't agreed together what we're going to put our faith towards. We need to get our faith together, and we need to start believing God for something specific that's bigger than us, but together believing God for it, moving together in faith. Thirdly, write this down. People of faith, people that are driven by faith, they believe that there is life-changing power in the presence of Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 18. "Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house." Notice this phrase, "to lay him before Jesus." There's something very compelling about that phrase. You see, I believe if you've tasted of the power of God, you know that the most powerful force on the face of this universe is the presence of Jesus. We can do a lot of works, and we need to. We can feed the poor, and we need to. We can help people get jobs, and we need to. We can help reform the education system in this city, and we need to. We can try to curb the violence that's out of control in some of our neighborhoods, and we need to. But let me tell you, without the presence of Jesus, without the presence of God, these are only band-aids. Because unless we change the heart of people, they will go back to the same problem over and over again. We need to help people, but we need a change that only God can do. There's a change that only the power of the Holy Spirit could do. Listen, we can get someone that's on drugs and put them in a 12-step program and get them in a rehab program, and they can have the support around them to try to change them from not going back to the drugs. But you know, after they're clean for a while and sober for a while, they're still empty inside. And in time, if they're not careful, they'll go back, because there's something that only Jesus Christ can fill in the heart of a person that leaves them changed forever. We can try to get a thief to get an education, to get a job, to get hired. But unless there's a change inside of their heart, then they're just going to do thievery at a higher level. They're not going to be holding up someone at a gas station now. They're going to be trying to rob on their computer and switch funds around, because they need a change of the heart. Listen, I believe that the presence of Jesus has the power to change any life. These men said to themselves, if we can only get them into the presence of Jesus. Now, they didn't know exactly what Jesus would do, but they understood that if they could get their friend to the presence of Jesus, that Jesus has power. There's something about the presence of Jesus. When I come into this place on Sunday morning, as I am driving here, and even in the morning as I get up early, I pray, Lord, bring your presence. Without your presence, God, this is just a gathering of people. It's just an exchange of information. Maybe some good principles that are given, God, but it's just a talk that's being given on a PowerPoint and a message that's being communicated. But Lord, I want much more than that. I don't want just exchange of information. I don't want just good principles taught to improve our life. I want your presence, Lord. I want your presence to be there in a manifest way, God. I want your presence to invade this auditorium. I want your spirit to descend upon us so that the presence of Jesus speaks in ways that I could never speak, that it goes to places that I could never go to, that it touches people's lives like I could never touch them, that it heals and changes and breaks and delivers and inspires hope, speaks to people's hearts in ways that are supernatural that only God can do. Lord, I need your presence, your powerful presence in this place. If you've experienced the presence of Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. You know that his presence can do what nothing or no one else can do. Scripture says that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in the midst of them. These friends thought to themselves, if I can just get our friend into the presence of Jesus, he'll do the rest. Number four, write this down. People that are driven by faith are people that don't let obstacles stop them, but work hard to find a way. You see, when they finally, after dragging this paralytic for miles to get to this house, when they finally got to the house, they encountered obstacles. How many of you know that every journey of faith is going to encounter obstacles? There's nothing good that you purpose to do that won't be filled with obstacles. There is no journey that doesn't have roadblocks in the journey of faith. So finally, when they get to the house is overcrowded and overflowing with people. The crowd is spilled out into the streets, and I'm sure they look at each other and said, the Eeyore is probably saying, well, we tried. Let's go home. I'm hungry. We don't have lunch money. But the people full of faith are saying, no, we didn't come this far to give up. The Pharisees are probably in the back. Maybe they tried to make their way through the crowd. I'm sure some religious Pharisees saying, stay in line. Please stop making noise. I'm trying to listen here. You know, one of the greatest obstacles for people coming to faith is religious people that don't know Jesus. How about it? The Pharisees were there not to help people come to know Jesus. They were there to try to accuse people and keep people away. I run into so many people on the streets of Chicago. Then when I start talking to them about God and about faith, or they find out I'm a pastor, one of the first things they bring up is people that they know that are religious, but that are worse than most of the non-religious people that they know. I call these faith blockers.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called Faith Building People, which is from our series called Jesus Up Close. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 7 through 26. Here's Pastor Mark's message tonight called Faith Building People.
There's always religious people that are going to block your faith. There's always people that will keep you from Jesus. And let me tell you something. Listen to me well. This is huge. There's always going to be people in every church, in every setting, that are working through their issues. And if you let them, they can be a stumbling block from your walk in God. Hello. And if you walk out of these doors and say, well, you know, there was a guy, he's a hypocrite. I'm not going back to that church anymore. You have just let one hypocrite keep you from the presence of Jesus. So you've made one hypocrite bigger than God. Hello, really? Seriously, really? How much do you want God? I want to know, how much do you want God? There'll always be faith blockers. There will always be people working through their issues. Listen, this is not a church full of perfect people. Hello. We thought about put a sign in the front that says, Imperfect people welcome. Perfect people not welcome, because there's no one perfect in this place that would ever come into this place. Hello. You're not perfect. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. They're not perfect. That guy in the back, well, he's really not perfect. There is no one that's perfect here. Everybody is going to disappoint someone at some time. There's someone that's going to say something that's going to discourage you. There's someone that's not going to follow through on something that you thought they should follow through on. There's someone that's not going to call you and you thought they were going to call you up. There's always someone that can keep you from really pressing into the presence of Jesus. But I believe that people that are driven by faith do not let people discourage them from getting into the presence of Jesus, because they want Jesus desperately. They're driven by faith. The Bible tells us that these men decided that even though they couldn't get to Jesus through the normal means, through the door, they decided that they would still get to Jesus, and so they climbed up onto the roof of the house. Now, I'm sure it was no easy task to try to take this paralytic onto the roof of the house. They're pulling and tugging and hoisting. Don't drop them. Come on, watch it. They got on the roof of the house, and once they're on the roof of the house, one of them saying, well, I think Jesus is about right here. Let's count it out. 1, 2, 3. If we dig a hole right here, I think we'll land on Jesus. Eeyore saying, no, we're going to fall through. It's not going to work. I mean, they're going to kick us out. How can we dig a hole in the roof? The leader saying, no, let's do it right now. So he starts digging. And they start digging together. Now come inside the house. Here's Jesus teaching. Peter's wife is right over there. She's already thinking, well, this house is real crowded. Please don't drop that vase over there. Oh, Lord, why did I have this meeting in my house? I knew we should have had it at someone else's house. As Jesus is speaking, suddenly there's a little mud that starts falling from the ceiling. A little branch. Because in those days, the roofs were... well, the typical roof was made out of a thick layer of clay packed down with a stone roller. This was supported by mats of branches that were laid across wooden beams. That's how they made the roofs in those days. They were flat roofs. So these men are digging through hard clay on the roof with their hands, making a hole right where they think Jesus will be. Jesus is speaking, pieces of mud start falling, then all of a sudden you see a hand go through the roof. Now, if you've ever been in a crowd where there's distraction, you'll know that it takes very little to distract a crowd. How about it? Imagine a hand going through the roof. I know everybody's looking up like this. Peter's wife saying, oh Lord, what are they doing? I knew I shouldn't have had it. There's my roof! The little kids are saying, wow, this is fun. This is funner than the synagogue. Take us here every... Jesus keeps speaking, but suddenly he's lost everybody in the crowd. I've been speaking for a long time, and I know how distracted people get. I was speaking at a high school one time when a bird got loose. Boy, hundreds of high school students just watching the bird fly around. I mean, I couldn't get their attention for the life of me. One time when we first moved in this building, we just got in. We were so happy to be in this building the first couple of months. And all of a sudden, that pipe right there sprang a big leak. And the guy right there sitting there got baptized again. I mean, this wasn't like a drip, drip, drip leak. This is like a pour water down right there. And one of our ushers is putting a big bucket underneath. And it's just pouring down. People are getting wet. We're moving chairs around. I mean, I just lost it. One time I was speaking in another location, and the very front row, the cell phone rings loud. And normally people get embarrassed with their cell phones, try to turn it off. This guy, what? Not at all. This guy answered, hello? I'm like, dude, I'm speaking. I mean, you're in the front row. He said, hello? No, I'm in church. I mean, I thought he was going to hang up. Everybody's watching him. I knew the guy. Said, tell him bye, hang up. Okay, hey, the pastor's telling me to hang up. Yeah, hang up. Goodness sakes, seriously? Jesus is speaking, mud's falling from the roof, a hole's being created, everybody's watching this hole that's being created. I'm sure a head sticks down and says, yeah, we're in the right spot. And now suddenly they're making it bigger, and now you see the feet of a paralytic being lowered and the body of a paralytic being carefully lowered. And they say, don't drop him, careful, lowering him down. Now, Peter's mother's having a fit. The Pharisees are like, look at this mayhem. Look at Jesus. The crowd is there. People have branches on their head, mud on their head. The whole meeting's been distracted. And there he is, the paralytic in front of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, you messed up my meeting. Why are you doing this? Look at the mess you've made. He says nothing like that. Jesus looks at this paralytic man, and I love the first thing that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says, son. Son. Oh, I love that. It's an endearing term. He looks at this man and he looks at the four heads peering through the hole. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 20 says, and seeing their faith. My last point here, write it down. People that combine their faith to believe, people driven by faith are people that combine their faith to believe God for extraordinary change. Jesus says he saw their faith, not just the paralytic man's faith. He looked at his four friends and he saw their combined faith, them believing God together for something. He saw that they believed, even though maybe the paralytic didn't have enough faith, their friends had faith with them. He saw their combined faith. They all chipped in a little faith together to believe God for extraordinary things. And the heart of Jesus was moved to compassion because he saw their faith together. And he looked at this paralytic man and he said, I want to tell you, son. Let me deal with your spirit first of all. I want to tell you, your sins are forgiven. I'm sure there are people in the crowd saying, how could he do this? What is he doing? Look at this man. And Jesus wanted to make clear, first of all, his sins, your sins are forgiven. Whatever you've done in your past, whatever you've been through, whatever you have failed in, I want you to know your sins are forgiven. There was grumbling in the crowd among the Pharisees that says, hey, how can this guy forgive sins? And Jesus looks at the Pharisees and says, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up, take up your mat and walk? But just so you know that I have power, that I'm the Son of God, just so you know that there is nothing limited to the presence of Jesus, just so you know that the Son of God has come to seek and to save those that are lost, just so you know that the power of God is not limited by sickness or disease or anything else, I say to you, get up, take up your mat, and walk. The Bible says that that paralytic, immediately, verse 25, he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been laying on. I can imagine they were dancing on the roof. I can imagine even Eeyore was doing a little praise dance up there because his friend was up. They were amazed. The people were aghast at what had happened. Everybody was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe when they saw the power of Jesus revealed through people of faith. So I want to close with this. The musicians are going to make their way forward. And in this Palm Sunday here, I want you to hear me well. Look up at me. This is really important. You may be here today and you may have very little faith that you can change, that your life can be different, that there can be a turnaround. But I want to tell you, even if you have very little faith, can I tell you this? We, this church, New Life, the people of God, we are believing for you. We believe that our God can. We believe that Oh, even though you may have little faith, we're combining our faith with your faith to believe God for a major breakthrough. We're believing that you can change. We're believing that God can come through. We're believing that your destiny can turn around. We're believing that your sins can be forgiven. We're believing that the final chapter hasn't been written yet. We're believing that, no matter how many failures you've had, that God can turn you around. We are believing with you that God can do incredible things in your life. We're believing with you.
This has been the conclusion of our message called Faith Building People. And it's also the conclusion of Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD, just contact our office, 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. The entire series is available as well. Before you go, we invite you to visit New Life Midway this Sunday to hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago, just west of Pulaski Avenue. If you're on the train, it's the orange line with the Pulaski stop. We're right down the street. We hope to see you there. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. We hope that you will join us again tomorrow as we start a brand new Straight Talk. Have a great night, and God bless.